I love you people. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And I always count it an honor to be here. And the friendship I have with you, preacher, is very special. I can talk to him about anything, and him likewise. And I count it an honor to stand where he stands. And I appreciate that very, very much, that he would trust me to stand here. Pray the Lord to help us tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, there's several things we can learn in this chapter. This whole chapter is dealing primarily with ministry. In verse number 1, you'll see the togetherness of this ministry. Verse number 1 says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. You ain't in this ministry by yourself. It takes all of us. The togetherness of this ministry, notice the target of this ministry is found in verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That's the target of the ministry. The ministry is the target, lost people. I tell my church, and I tell them often, many people don't know what church is about. Church is about ministry. And ministry is about people. And when the church loses its vision for ministry, ministering to people, then you become a social club and a social gathering. The target of ministry is the lost. Notice with me in verse number 14, we'll see the triumph of this ministry, knowing that we which raised up, or he which raised up the Lord Jesus, shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. That's the triumph of the ministry. The ministry is not going down, but the ministry is going up. We will triumph. Notice in verse 13, the touch of this ministry. We need the touch. Verse 13, we having the same Spirit. That's the touch of the ministry. You need the Spirit in the ministry. Notice the tool of this ministry is found in verse 5. For we preach not ourselves. The tool of the ministry is the preaching of the Word of God. God ordained preaching to be the tool of the ministry. I love good singing. You've got great singing. I've got great singing. But nothing should ever take place of the inspired preaching of the Word of God. God uses preaching as a tool. But in verse 8, we get to our text, and that is the trouble of this ministry. Paul mentioned a lot of things, but he couldn't leave out the trouble of this ministry. In verse number 8, he says, we, that's all of us, are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not, you ought to say amen right here. But not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Paul said there's trouble in ministry. There always has been and there always will be. But Paul said, and this is my title tonight, he said we are troubled on every side. And that's what I want to preach to you for a few minutes tonight. Troubled on every side. Our Father, we come to you this evening. Lord, we want to thank you for the safe journey that we had from home today. Lord, the rain that we got to see and then the sunny skies. Thank you for the fellowship that I got to enjoy with my daddy coming down the road. Lord, I thank you for this church, and I thank you for Brother Ken, Brother Mike, and the leaders of this church. God, I pray you'd touch and continue to bless. Lord, I thank you for those that joined the church tonight, those that want to be a part of this ministry. Lord, I thank you for the good singing that I've already heard. God, I pray for the next little while as I stand behind this sacred desk in the house of worship. Lord, I pray as my pastor used to say, who has gone on to be with you some 2 or 3 weeks ago, who used to say virtually every time before he'd preach, I've heard him say it many times, Lord, now take my heart, take my soul, and take my very being, and use it to glorify your Son. We'll ask that in Jesus' name, and we'll thank you for it. In His name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I've heard Brother Ken mention several times sitting over there, thank God we got a place to worship. Where would we be at tonight with the troubles that we are experiencing in our day if we did not have a place that God had ordained, called the church, to assemble ourselves together and come together as a corporate body to bear one another's burdens, to be exalted and to be lifted up from the place of despair, to find that encouragement, that brother or sister that I pray with you around the altar, to hear a fresh word from heaven from your man of God. Where would we be at tonight if it wasn't for the place of worship and the troubles that we have in our life? Paul said that we're troubled on every side. Notice with me three things in this verse of Scripture. I promise I won't finish my message. Notice with me, first of all, the reality of Paul's trouble. If you'll notice in verse number 8, he says, we are troubled on every side. That means it was a reality. He wasn't saying troubles are coming. He wasn't saying I've been through trouble. He was saying we're troubled. Right now, it's reality. It is real. It's not a figment of his imagination. He knew that what he was dealing with was trouble. The reality of Paul's trouble. I want you to notice, first of all, how Paul had experienced viper trouble. In the book of Acts, in chapter number 28, in verse number 3, you don't have to turn there. You remember where Paul and them had landed on the island of Cilicia, and Paul was out gathering sticks to put on the fire and trying to keep the fire burning. And remember there was a viper that had hit himself in the bundle of the wood, and it bit him on his hand. And if y'all remember what Paul done, he shook it off, and they supposed Paul would be dead. And it done him no harm. And then they thought he was a god. You know what? Some of us in here, we've experienced viper trouble. Somebody might have bit you on the hand. Somebody might be trying to drain the life out of you. Paul had experienced viper trouble. Some people say, what do you do at a time like that? You shake it off. You just shake it off. In this ministry, you are going to have trouble. There's going to be vipers wrapped up in the wood pile, and you're going to come in contact with them, and you might be just trying to keep the fire burning. You might have done nothing to cause that viper to strike you, but I promise you, the closer you get to the fire, and the more you try to keep wood on the fire, the more the viper's going to be active, and he'll bite you if you're not careful. Shake it off. Just shake it off. Notice the victory trouble that Paul had had. In Romans chapter number 7, verses 15 through 17, Paul said, I go to do good, and evil is present. He said, I go to do evil, and good is present. He said, that I should do, I don't do, and that I shouldn't do, I do. He said, there's a war in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?
Paul was experiencing victory trouble. He knew what it was like to feel defeated. He knew what it was like to be down. He knew what it was like to feel like a loser. He had experienced that trouble. We are troubled on every side. And I find myself in the same shape. A lot of times it's victory I struggle with in my own life. Victory trouble. Vision trouble Paul had experienced. In the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 11, he reminded them how large a letter he had written with his own hand. He even talked to them about they'd have plucked out their own eyes and give them to him if it was possible. The thorn in the flesh that the apostle Paul had, I often have believed that it was his eyesight. Paul couldn't see very good. I believe he had vision trouble. Some of us, I believe, in our Baptist churches today, the main problem in our churches that we've got, it's not that we don't have nice buildings. Our problem and our trouble is that we don't have padded pews. It's not that we don't have chandeliers. It's not that we don't have paved parking lots. Our biggest trouble is not that it's too hot in here in the summertime or too cold in the winter. I tell you, the biggest problem in our churches today is that most people in our churches have no vision. And the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. Where's your trouble tonight? It could be with your eyesight. Could be in your eyes. Number four, the reality of Paul's trouble. Paul had experienced viper trouble, victory trouble, vision trouble. This next one I want to show you. Paul had experienced vengeance trouble. Notice with me in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I want to show you something tonight. In verse number 19. Matter of fact, let's start in verse 18. Vengeance trouble. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Verse number 18. Watch your Bibles now. This is Sunday night. This ain't camp meeting. This is what I'd preach to my crowd. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Notice Paul's vengeance right here in verse number 20. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander. Watch what he does here. Whom I have delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Stop right there. Paul was a great man. Paul was a godly man. Paul was an intelligent man. Paul was a great preacher. God used him in a great way. And I, who am I to correct the apostle Paul? But what he done right there in that verse, who give Paul the authority to turn another child of God over to the hands of Satan? I tell you what Paul was wrestling with. Paul had vengeance built up in his heart towards somebody who had done the ministry wrong. Look up here for a minute. It's not our job to turn our brothers and sisters over to the devil, but it's our job to pray for them and to restore them and to bear their burden. God never intended for us to turn them over. In the ministry, you're going to find people who do not live up to what you think they should. And it's not our job to turn anybody over to Satan. Paul had experienced trouble, the reality of it. Viper trouble, victory trouble, vision trouble, vengeance trouble, valuable trouble. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7 is where Paul mentions the thorn in his flesh. And he says, I sought the Lord thrice that he might remove this from me. And the Lord said, no, I'm not going to do it. And Paul said, lest I be exalted above measure. I've got this thorn in my flesh. And he says, listen, God says my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul says, I'd rather glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Paul had learned that trouble coming into his life was a valuable tool that God used to make him more valuable. Today we're living in such a day, Preacher Ken, when Christians are quitting over the smallest trouble in the ministry. They're giving up. They're jumping out of the ship. They're going back to their old way. I'm trying to get you to see there will be trouble. But that trouble's for your good. It'll make you more valuable. Number 3, 4, 5, or 10. The reality of Paul's trouble. Notice the ram of Paul's trouble. Verse 8 again. After he said we are troubled, that's the reality. He gives you the ram. That's where? On every side. Paul said, I'm troubled on every side. Now if he's troubled on every side, that means he's troubled in the front, in the back, on the right, and on the left. Everywhere he looks, there's trouble. He can't get away from it. It's trouble. It's trouble over here. It's trouble over there. There's trouble. It's everywhere. If there's trouble in front of him, it means he had trouble on the front side. In other words, I don't know what this trouble was, but whatever it was, if he had trouble on every side, he had trouble in front of him, that means it was hindering him from making any progress. He couldn't go forward in his Christian life because of trouble that he had in front of him. Something was hindering him from following God like he needed to follow Him. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are we making progress following the Lord? Matter of fact, is there anything in your life or in our life that would hinder us from making any progress with God? He couldn't go forward. He was troubled in the front. Not only was he troubled on the front side, but he was troubled on the right side. Now we all know in the Scripture the right side is symbolic to that of what? Power. So now not only is his progress being hindered because of trouble, but he ain't got no power in his life because of trouble. It's affecting his power with God. Let me show you how the right side, and a lot of times things can hinder you and I. And by the way, if there's one thing we need in our life, it is the power of God. God wants you and I to have power, and the right side is the place of power. What is it in your life or mine that might be hindering the power of God in our life? The right side. Let me show you an illustration. Can I use you again tonight? Now, I gave him fair warning. I said, now, preacher, if I use you again tonight, please don't let me down. I'm not going to fall, all right? I hope. If I was going to do that, we'd have to get preacher to help me again too, all right, or help you. I look a little heavier this time. Brother, I've lost weight. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a man of some is, but exhorting one another. He ain't exhorting nobody on that. Y'all remember in the story where Peter cut Malchus's ear off? Y'all remember that? That soldier, he cut his ear off? Now, if you'll read that, go home tonight. I want you to read it. It was his right ear. Alright? It was his right ear. Now, let me show you something. The only way I can cut... Now, Peter couldn't have been facing him because... Where's your right ear at? Did your wife write it down on your hand tonight? Your right is over there, your left hand is over here. All right. Now, let's say Peter's got his sword out. And Malchus is right here. Now, for Peter to take his sword and cut his right ear off, that's going to be harder for him to do. But now watch this. If he's got his back turned from to me. Watch how easy it is. Look how easy it is for me to whack that right ear. Matter of fact, turn back around here. He's got pretty ears anyway, ain't he? They're going to be looking at your ears for a while. By the way, I can't get to that ear as good with my blade that way as I can from the backside. See, you got flippers back here. I can get to that ear a whole lot easier back here. So, now, hold on. Don't go nowhere yet, brother. I'm not going to mess your hair up, I promise. All right? I ain't got a knife. I do have a knife in my pocket. All good rednecks tote a pocket knife, even to church. Might have more than that, but we ain't gonna let everybody know that, all right, Nanny? Now, if I'm gonna cut his right ear off, That means Peter, I believe Peter, if Peter done that with his right hand, then he undoubtedly cut his ear off from behind him. And by the way, that's where usually most people will get you from anyway. They'll get you from behind. They won't hurt you from the front. And our trouble could be on our right side. You can look in the Bible. You can sit down now. The man with the withered hand. The man with the withered hand was withered in where? His right hand. If all through the Bible, when you look at the Bible, God always used the right side. God never used the left side. Read your Bible, do a study on it. You'll see where God only uses the right side. He never uses the left side. Paul said he's troubled on every side. If there's any side the devil wants to cause havoc, it's on the right side, because that's the side that God's wanting to use in your life. God don't want your left side. He wants your right. He's troubled on the front, that was his progress. He's troubled on the right side, that's his power. He's troubled on the back side, that's his past. You know, let me tell you where a lot of people's troubled with is their past. We can't get over what's happened to us. Somebody hurt me. Somebody hurt my feelings and I can't forgive them. Somebody's messed my heart up. Somebody done my youngin' wrong at school. And now they're wanting to come to my church. You mean they're coming to my church? I can't believe that. We're thinking about the past. And lo and behold, the preacher shook their hand. All because we can't get over the past and the issues that we're dealing with and behind. Some of you might have been raised in a home that was wicked and corrupt. You might have been abused by your uncle or a friend or a neighbor. It could have been your mom or your daddy. Your past, it haunts you. You get up of a morning and your past is there. It's real. You go to work and your past is there. Some of you may have never known your parents. Maybe you was an orphan. Maybe you was in a children's home. Maybe you don't even know who your mom and daddy was. And that gnaws on you and that bothers you. Let me go ahead and stop right here and insert something. You might not know who your earthly daddy is, but there's one thing about it. If you're saved, born again, child of the living God, you can know who your heavenly Father is, and that means more than anything else. Your past to eat you alive. Maybe your teenage daughter got pregnant out of wedlock. Get over it. She messed up. Love her. Go on, love her and love that youngin. You don't have to agree with her sin, but they steal you youngin. How often do we mess up with God as God's little children, and God still forgives us and He loves us regardless of what we've done? And we in the Baptist church need to forget people's past and quit thinking about them for what they did do and look at them for what Jesus done for them. We're all troubled on every side. My daddy, I wasn't going to share this, but I'm going to share it, and he's here tonight. I hope I can take my jacket off, preacher. April 4th. My feet don't smell good, I promise. In April of 2009, my daddy was 66 years old. And for the first time in his life, he was able to lay eyes on his daddy. My daddy was born, this ain't cussing, it's a Bible term, my daddy was born a bastard child. He knew his mama, but he never knew his daddy. My daddy was born May the 26th, 1943. His mama had had an affair. She was 23 years old. She had had a little old one-night stand with a 17-year-old boy. She got pregnant. Back then, you kept things quiet. You didn't let it get out and flown it like a lot of people do today. It was a shame years ago. Now it's not a shame. It's kind of the norm. Little girls, keep your purity, please.
And I can remember my daddy years as I was a little boy while I'd hear my daddy preach. I can hear my daddy up there preaching, never knowing his daddy. I've always known my daddy. But daddy, I don't know what it would be like not knowing who my daddy is. 2009, my daddy, actually his daddy found him. He's still alive. He's a World War II vet, fought in the South Pacific on the island of Guam. He's an ex-Marine. He's still living to this day. He's crazy as a bat and wired 220, just like my daddy. He's stubborn too and hard-headed. I won't say just like my daddy. But I can remember my daddy telling this. I don't even know why I'm sharing this tonight. This may be for somebody else. I've got a picture of my daddy when he was about 7 or 8 years old. And I kept it in my billfold for years. And then when his daddy saw that I had it, he wanted it and I give it to him. And I can remember my daddy saying this as a little boy. My Aunt Becky raised him. She's dead and gone now too. I'm trying to tell you about your past. And I've heard daddy talk about he had walked down the road as a little boy because his mama went off and left him when he was 3 years old. Left him with his aunt. Didn't want nothing to do with him. Went off and married another man, had 3 or 4 more youngins. I remember daddy telling me that he is. Walk down the road a lot of times, kick a can, and this would go through his mind. If I can ever get big. If I can ever get big. If I can ever get big. You never know what people's going through and where they've come from. We talk about illegitimacy. And we point our fingers at little girls and boys that have illegitimate youngins. Can I tell you something tonight? My daddy might not have a good past, but God allowed that past to happen. And I am a byproduct of a one-night stand that happened in September of 1942. I thank and bless the good name of a sovereign God. My past might not look good, but that's what God's using to get me where I need to be. I say, hallelujah to the Lamb of God forever. You say, preacher, I got a bad past. Get over your past. Forget those things that are behind and reach forward to the things which are before. Forget about where you come from and look at where you're going. Amen. Let me give you this last one. I'm going to be done. I've got 2 or 3 more points, but I'm not. Trouble in the front, that's his progress. Trouble on every side. He couldn't make no headway with God. He couldn't get nowhere with God because of trouble. He had no power with God on the right side. That speaks of our power. He had trouble on the right side. He had trouble on the back side. That's his past. His past was eating him up. No doubt him going into churches and torturing churches and making a mockery of the gospel was eating Paul up. I have no idea. Now his mind was all confused, and I was sitting in my study when I was studying this message, and I was thinking, Holy Ghost, the left side. What is the trouble on the left side? I'm glad y'all asked. Those of y'all that are married, look at your left hand. Even back then they had trouble on the left side. Because Paul said it's better to marry and burn. But he said, if you can remain single, just stay single. Don't get married. You want me to tell you what I try to do to most people I counsel in marriage? I try to talk them out of it. I'm telling you the truth. I try to talk them out of it. Somebody said, why ain't you trying to talk them out of it? Well, several reasons. But the main reason is if I can talk them out of it, they never needed to get married to begin with. Most people get married today because, oh, ain't she so pretty? And ain't he so cute? Oh, he's got a physique. He works out every day. Look at his hair. It's so beautiful.
And oh, Daddy, smell her perfume. It's so, oh, Lord. I just love the way she smells. And look at his truck. He drives a pickup truck. He's got big mud tires on the truck. I love the truck. And what they forget about is one day they're going to wake up and that good-looking dude with hair ain't got none. And that slim-looking physique has done gone. Y'all don't believe it or not, I used to look like Fabio myself. That's right. And you women, it's all made up tonight. Some people say a woman ought not wear makeup. Some of them need to wear makeup. Amen. And plenty of it. Plenty of makeup. Put it on. Cake it on there. I promise you, there ain't a woman in here that girl rolled out of the bed looking like you look right now. Huh? Oh, no. Some of these boys thinking, I'm going to marry her one day. Yeah. You wake up with her about 5:30 in the morning. And her eyes cross-eyed and she staggers in there to go to the bathroom. And you say, honey, I need to get in there. She'll say, no, I got to do my hair. 2.5 hours later, you might get to peek in the door. I was picking on my wife the other day. I got up before she did, and I was going into the bathroom. And I can say this, and I reckon we'll all understand it. I don't wear pajamas to bed. I do wear undergarments, but I don't wear pajamas. That's just how it is. And I was in the bed with my wife, and she was awake, and I was awake, and I was going to beat her out of the bed because I had to go tinkle. And I've got two girls, 1:18, 1:12, and most time of the morning when you get up at my house, you can't hear yourself think for the blow dryers. I've got two bathrooms, big bathrooms, and it's a shame. I make the house payment, and I have to use the restroom outside. When it's 23 degrees and you walking outside, you thinking, my goodness, I got to go to the bathroom. Scared to death to say, please let me come in. I promise I'll lift the lid up. And I promise I'll put the lid back down. I looked in the mirror one morning. I looked back at my wife, bowed my chest out, and I said, honey, she said, what? I said, you a tougher woman than I ever give you credit for. She said, what do you mean? I said, I don't see how you contain yourself to keep from attacking me. Look at me. She said, honey, you gaining weight. And I said, that's just more to love, more to love. You better laugh about it. There's more Botox and all this stuff going on today I've never seen in my life. 15-year-old girls wanting to look 25 and 45-year-old women wanting to look 20. Men got their eyes, can't look at their own wife. Listen, if you're 45 and she's 45, you're just as ugly as... That's right. Trouble on the left side. Trouble. A lot of times today, I mean, you hear it, it's a common occasion at my house, women running off with other men, men running off with other women. I promise you, it's going to be the same trouble, just different faces. Let me tell you what I believe happens in our day, and the reason we got so much trouble on the left side, is you women, you get up and you go to work. You leave of a morning, you're fresh. Man, you smell good. You've worked your face up good. I mean, you don't look like Godzilla no more. Your breath smells good. It don't smell like a buzzard nest. I tell you what true love is when you can roll over first thing in the morning and kiss each other in the mouth. That's true love. Oh, yeah. I can see Brother Ken in the morning over there at Mama Rose. Come here, honey. Trouble on the left side, honey. Didn't you hear that little trouble on the left side? You go to work, you may work around men and they tell you how nice you look. You work all day, you come home, you're stressed out. Your husband's worked all day, he's sitting down on the couch. He's got his mind on paying the bills and mowing the yard. And you got your mind on cleaning the house and washing clothes and cooking supper and taking the kids here and taking the kids there. And neither one of you stopped to smell the roses long enough to say, hey, honey, how was your day? I love you. And over and over and over every day, that same jackleg you work with is making you feel like you really are somebody. And your husband still thinks you are somebody, but he's in this thing with you and that other jackleg ain't, and he sees you enjoying that and his marriage is miserable, and so he's trying to suck you in to his little world, and before you know it, you've done give in to sexual temptation, you're messing up, and then you got trouble on the left side and your life's a mess. Trouble on every side. I'll tell y'all something. I know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now, my wife loves me as much as she can. Now, she tells me there's a lot of days she don't like me, but she loves me. And I can understand why she don't like me. But I honestly believe my dog, and I got a dog in the house, and he sleeps with me. That's right. My daddy about throws up every time I say that. He's a little miniature Dachshund. His name's Little Bit. And I love him to death. I used to be rough on dog lovers. Now I'm one of them. Amen. Guarantee you my dog loves me more than my wife. Some people say, well, how you know? I guarantee I could lock them both up in the bathroom all day long and go let them both out and he'd be the only one glad to see me. Sometimes we grow apart in our marriage. The love is still there. It's just buried under years of hiding that love for each other. Don't get your eyes on somebody else. Oh, my goodness. Don't be a statistic. You might be having some trouble on your left side. Work it out. I promise you, if you dump this dude or dump that gal, you're going to have trouble again on the left side. It all started in the Garden of Eden anyhow. Didn't y'all know that? Yep. Adam and Eve had trouble on the left side. You know what it took, though, to satisfy Eve? Men, listen up. This is what I think will satisfy all women. Because it satisfied Eve. You want me to tell you what it was? Get your pens out. Y'all ready? Write it down. Write it down. I'm going to hush here in a minute. Write it down. You women are looking at me. What in the world is he about to say? This is what it took. She had everything in the garden. Everything. God set them up in a perfect environment. And there was one thing she had to have. An apple. Just go buy her a bag of apples and say, honey, one's all it took to satisfy Eve. Here's your whole bag now. You women didn't like that, did you? Most people don't like to hear the good book preached anyway. Let me get this down to brass tacks. How's your marriage tonight? Liberty Baptist Church is made up of families. And this church is only going to be as strong as the left side. There's two crucial sides to this whole thing. The right side and the left side. When you lose the right side and the left side, you're in trouble. Paul said he had trouble on all sides. Now, I know Paul wasn't married. Paul never married. But he still said, I'm troubled on every side. How's things at your home? How's your relationship? How long's it been since you men have picked and cut up with your lady? I mean, just because you need to. Quit taking life so serious. I'm late on a bill. So what? Who ain't? I'm going to have to, how am I going to, I don't know, honey, the girls need some shoes. Well, go get them. You say, we ain't got the money. Well, wait till payday.
Right. Right.
You say, now here's something that happens in a marriage. I don't know why I'm hunkered down right here. I have no idea. Here's what happens a lot of times in marriages that I've seen. One or the other will go get a credit card and get that thing and won't tell the other one. In order to get something that they don't really need to begin with and build up a big old balance on that thing. And then it catches you and you can't pay it off. And then you got to go confront your husband. Most times it's the husband that gets confronted. Sometimes it's the husband that confronts the wife, but more times than not, it's the woman that done it. You women are ready to throw a book at me right now. I know that for sure. And then we men, we blow up. We don't know how to handle that stuff. How's your marriage? How's your left side? You say, preacher, I'm making progress with God. I've got the power of God. My past ain't bothering me, but my left side. What side are you troubled on tonight? The realm of our trouble. And it all affects the ministry. Let's all stand tonight. Preacher, I'm done.